Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're asking, what's all this for?
Or have you seen or heard things and you say to yourself, what does this even mean?
You've got questions.
And we've got answers.
This is
the Talk Boys Podcast. Spooky season.
It is. Bless this mess.
Does your mom? My mom for sure has that sign in her little kitchen somewhere.
Bless this mess. Dance like no one's watching.
Yep. Thankful.
Thankful. Start each day with a grateful heart.
Yes. A spoonful of sugar makes the... Oh, dang it.
The medicine go down?
That's what it says, but I'm sure there's a Hobby Lobby little zing to it somewhere.
It's Hobby Lobby.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's where you find all of these things.
You know what I figured out about Hobby Lobby?
What's that?
They always have a 50% off sale. Dude,
that is so true.
It's on all the time.
Yeah, it's a good thing I need this frame for something I shouldn't hang up in my house.
My wife goes, we got to go. And when we get there, she goes, they're having a 50% off sale. And I go, oh, okay. That's awesome. And then we go again. And she says, hey, did you see they're having a 50% off sale?
Right.
Third time, I'm like, I'm not buying the 50% off sale.
That's the real price.
It's like BOGO at Rack Room. When do they not have BOGO at Rack Room?
I don't know if this Rack Room does this. No, you're right. I'm thinking of a place called Shoe Carnival when I was growing up. You ever heard of this place?
I do remember Shoe Carnival.
And you, in the middle, there was this giant spin the wheel and see what coupons you get.
Did they let you spin the wheel or did someone spin the wheel? Because I remember a man standing on a platform.
Yes.
The Shoe Carnival rule.
Yes.
Shoe Carnival.
And it's like
wheel.
As if you needed 20% off your kids.
Like yeah.
You're fine. Just buy them.
They're $14.
Please help them out. They've helped you out. With budget shoes.
$14. It costs the same to get a pair of Keds as it does to fly to California Spirit Airlines.
Spirit, where you can buy Keds and a flight for the same price.
I will keep mentioning Spirit Airlines until they give us a sponsorship.
Yes, but we're not going to fly on them because we don't want to die.
Yeah, but I just think it would be funny to have a Spirit Airlines... Specifically Spirit Airlines.
And here's what I've realized. You could go on their website and put Talk Boys Podcast in the coops at the end, and you can get nothing off. But we'll see what happens if you do it enough.
If you put in coupon code, is it coupon? Coupon code, TalkBoys20, you can get the same great rate that you always get every day. An everyday low rate at Spirit Airlines.
Yes, which is scary. Anywho, this is a spooky episode.
I am
the Spooky Boys Podcast.
We are, I guess, the day. Yeah, this will be a Halloween
week
special edition. And hey, we have a special edition guest. Josh, would you do the honors in introducing our guest friend today?
The specialist of friends in my life, my best friend, Dylan. No nicknames, Dylan Bentley. So,
last name's Bentley.
It is. It is. That is the widest name you'll ever hear in your life.
Dylan Bentley. So, interestingly enough, one of my good friends in high school, Dylan Bentley.
No way.
Yeah. D-I-L-L-O-N.
No. That's not real.
That's how he spells it.
No way.
It is spooky season, baby. We're getting weird already.
Are we best friends already?
We might be, and we didn't even know it.
I just met Dylan.
What if Dylan was that guy? And he just lives two different lifestyles growing up, which would mean...
I'm pretty sure the Dylan I grew up with is a pharmacist now.
That's not me, man.
Yeah. Shout out to you. Dude, we haven't talked since high school, but you got mentioned in the podcast.
How many people spell your first name wrong and your last name wrong?
Everybody. It shocks me. Starbucks, I expect it. I don't think Starbucks... The people that work there, all respect. I love them because they make coffee for me. But spelling's not their thing. Obviously, this is a world known D deal, but it's interesting on work emails, my name's at the bottom, and when they reply, they still can't figure it out.
Do they spell it Dillion?
It's Dillion, it's Dylan, it's...
Dylan, Bertley.
You know, I mean...
Bertley.
It's just, yeah, man.
Dillion Bertley might
Bert,
be your...
Bert Dentley.
Yeah, the last name not as much. They'll just sometimes forget the E before the Y, and that's it, but man.
Why is Bert Dentley the funniest?
Oh, wow.
Y'all, can we be real with our listeners? This is the first guest host that we've had, and I'm very excited to have you here. And because of that, we have been doing a little finagling over the last hour to make this recording work.
Dude, golly.
And luckily, by now, my Reign Total Body Fuel is kicked in, which brings us to the energy drink of the day.
Yep.
I'm having a cherry limeade.
Yes.
What you got over there?
I got a Bang Wildin.
Wildin. You got you don't pronounce the D in Wildin. You got to say Wildin.
It's some Wildin watermelon. Wildin watermelon. This Wildin. One's actually really, really syrupy.
Hear it?
Dylan, what are you drinking?
You have two bangs. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Josh, right now, our friend Josh De La Cruz, co-host of Talk Boys Podcast, has two Bang energy drinks, both open.
Yep. They're both open. I pounded this one earlier today, the Froze Rosé.
How much is left in the rosé?
It doesn't matter.
Why two? Why open both?
I hear what you're saying.
This
one started to get flat, but it's almost done. So I'll kick that in the teeth in a little bit. And then this one was cold, and I was like, I might as well do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel left out. You guys just opened a new one.
Mm. Yeah, you wanted fresh carbonation. What do you have there, Dylan?
I got the classic sugar-free Red Bull.
Sugar-free RB.
Tell you what, man. It has never failed me.
The player's choice.
How are the wings?
They're not flapping yet. I'm about halfway through it.
We have a special Halloween edition.
We do.
And this is episode 4. I typically say that up top, but we wanted to do a little introductions first and talk about a lot of stuff. So episode 4. Of the Talk Boys podcast, you are still very early in the age, in the golden years.
But you're consistent, and we appreciate that.
Our listeners are consistent, and I just want you to know we love you, and we're so glad that you're here. And while you're here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Go ahead and download the podcast, and because when you hit subscribe, it'll let you know when the new episode drops.
That's true.
And you can hit that on, you hit the follow button on Spotify, on Google, which would mean you'd have an Android. If you're listening on that, I guess you have to like send a carrier pigeon to remind you. If you have an Android phone.
Dude, I come at people that don't have an iPhone. But if you don't, it makes sense why you wouldn't. You're probably trying to better yourself.
And you're not going... The thing I have mad respect about consistent Android users is they get so much shade and they don't care. I feel like personally, by now, the peer pressure would have made me get an iPhone, but y'all don't. So I can take jabs at you, and you know what? You laugh it off because you're like, well, I can call in an airstrike for my phone and you can't do anything with
yours.
That's
true. Yep.
But how about that software?
How about...
So... It is a special edition Halloween episode. And what is Halloween, Josh?
Oh, man. Well, we kind of grew up the same, right? Me and you, Holden. Dylan, a little bit different. But some people embrace it. A lot of religious people do not. They shun it.
Yeah.
But here's the origin. It's a tradition originated from ancient Greek Celtic festival of, I'm going to butcher this, Samhain.
Did you say Greek? Celtic festival?
Ancient Celtic festival.
I think you said Greek.
Did I? It could be Greek.
So I'm Scottish, so I was like, hang on a minute.
But here's the way I'm going to pronounce this, the festival of Samhain. And maybe that's just the Asian in me.
You don't have it's a Celtic festival there. Maybe like a Samhain.
Yeah, that's probably how
you grab yourself a boulder and throw it over your shoulders.
Here's what they did. When people would light bonfires, they would wear costumes to ward off ghosts. Not to invite them, but to ward them off.
Go away.
Ooh.
You better get.
Go ahead and get spooky ghosts with just your spookiness.
Go on.
In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor saints. Soon, All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain, of this festival, which whereas Halloween originated, the evening before November 1st, which is October 31st, was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween, which that day I will only be listening to AFI because that's just my favorite Halloween music. So,
oh, man, I haven't heard the term AFI.
I love them so much.
What a band.
Yes. But that's where Halloween comes from.
I actually did not know that, really. I mean, I knew that it was like, I knew the Hallows Eve thing, but it was because my family was very anti-Halloween growing up.
Oh, dude. So mine were.
They weren't going to celebrate a pagan holiday growing up in a very like strict Christian home. And so, and Josh, I feel like you relate to this. Like, we didn't get to trick or treat.
Nope. Absolutely not. I was the weird kid who was like, here, you can have two pieces. You have a cool Halloween. Like, I'm passing them out with my parents. Like, God bless them. But, like, man, I wish I could go off with my friends. That looks pretty awesome.
I wish I could dress up as my favorite character. Can you imagine? I always saw my friends dressing up like Transformers and G.I. Joes.
Amazing.
And I was like, I can't even be a G.I. Joe. I got to stay at home.
You could be a G.I. Joe any other day except for Halloween, because then you're celebrating something that we don't believe in.
And they'd be like, well, we have a fall festival that we can go to, and you can dress up like your favorite Bible character.
Or a harvest festival.
Harvest festival. We got Christian rock music, and if you say a Bible verse, we'll give you a bit of honey. Do you remember like the worst candy?
Yes, it would literally pull the like your teeth roots out of your gums. They were so tacky. You know what I'm talking about?
If you had baby teeth, it was a perfect bet. But if you got adult, full-grown man teeth, not good for you.
It could be a problem. Yeah, and we would always... Golly. I love you, Mom and Dad. But they would take... If we went to this fall festival, we would dress up as Christian... you know where I'm going. Bible characters. And we don't even know what they look like.
All the burlap. All the tunics.
But, Dad, it's itchy. This is what Moses wore. Get in there.
Yep.
Like, how do you know?
Imagine Noah being trapped in the ark wearing this, and you're complaining about a little itchy burlap. You weren't trapped in with all the animals ever.
Dude, I specifically remember. There's a picture somewhere. I have to get my mom to send it to me. But it's me and my brother Chris, and we dressed up as Christian soldiers.
Oh, you know, dude. What? Okay, I mean,
isn't that a crusade?
Yes.
Ooh, holy war.
Were you a crusader?
Dude, no.
Hold on.
We just
uncovered some gold, man.
You dressed up for holy war.
No, it was like this. Josh, put this on. Dad, why? It hurts. This is the breastplate of righteousness. Mm. And it's just hard plastic. It was just horrible. And
did you have a helmet of salvation? You
better believe it. That dug into my skull and made my scalp bleed? Yes.
Did you have an armor bearer?
Yes, I did. And I bore my own shield.
Good for you.
And I have my own sword.
So we had trunk or treats as well at church, which was like trick or treat. But people would put candy in their trunks, which, can I just be real?
I don't like that.
My good Christian, devout Christian friends, anti-Halloween people, and I'm not throwing shade at you, does it not sound a little more weird
to invite kids in the back of your trunk?
Kids, I got candy in my trunk. Recite a Bible verse. John 3:16. Dude, I reused John 3:16 so many times.
Jesus wept. Dude. Can I have that Snickers, please?
Yeah. Hey, if you give me one more bit of honey, one more now and later.
Or it was all the horrible candy. These are peppermints. I don't want that.
It had like lint in it, like pocket lint from Slacks. Specifically, Slacks pocket lint.
Ew.
Do you remember the strawberry candies? The wrapper looked like a strawberry.
At your grandma's house.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Every grandparent had to have this. And the top... Or it was crinkled up to kind of seal it up.
That was the stem. That was the stem. And green. You open it up, And it just tasted like sad. So Dylan, what was your Halloween upbringing like? Go ahead, just hit us with it, because I'm hearing it's different than ours.
Here's what I tell you, it is very different. I did not grow up in a strict Christian household. My mom was Christian my whole life. My dad, most of the time, not. He is now. Thank you, Jesus. But man, amen. growing, yeah, amen. They got a crazy story. But growing up, man, Halloween was Halloween. Like we were like, okay, cool. Halloween's coming up. We're gonna dress up and we're gonna get some candy. I might steal some candy from some kids. Like,
yeah.
So, and if somebody is like, hey, you can only take two, I'm gonna look at them and be like, nah, man. Like I've been walking all night. You're gonna give me some more.
My feet are hurting.
Yeah.
My feet. Hey, so just so that me and Josh and I can live vicariously through you and via childhood. What was your favorite thing you dressed up as? Because I always kind of envied.
That's a great question.
Envied the kids that dressed up like cool stuff.
Here's the kicker: my family did not have a whole lot of money.
Okay.
So I never really got the hey mom, I want to be this or this or this. It was always like nah, like whatever my mom found or could make up. I think one year I was like a werewolf football player. There's a picture of me.
Oh, Teen Wolf.
I mean, it was cool.
Is that Teen Wolf?
Right.
I was Teen Wolf before.
I never saw it.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I guess I was Teen Wolf before it became cool.
Which, if you think of it, like, can you imagine if a werewolf played football?
Would they even be good?
That, so.
Little furry hands catching a fall? Okay. Catching a football?
A fall. Catching a fur ball.
A fall.
A fall.
First day with the new mouth.
A furt ball. So let's, okay, that brings us to a little sidebar discussion. Would a werewolf be good at football? So I think some aspects of the werewolf would be a beast. I think it takes the right position. Because of his paws,
can't catch a ball.
He's not an offensive.
His dumb furry hands.
His stupid, dumb, hairy paws. He can't do that. Now, if he grows his claws out, grows his little koala claws.
He's going to pop it.
Well, no. He'll just let them grow out. Like my dog, if you don't walk him on pavement for a while or you don't get a trim up, he'll go to, you know, he's like excited to see you. He gets home. Dude, digs right in.
Just oh, no.
With them koala claws. Cool. No, but okay. So not an offensive player.
Nope.
But he's
tackler.
He's a dog, so he's going to run fast.
Oh, yeah. You put him on defense.
And he's half dog, half man. So you have special doggy powers, right?
Sure.
Correct?
Yep.
So there, you got to add that in. Do werewolves bite and make other werewolves like vampires?
That is a great question.
Yeah. How do you get converted into a werewolf?
This is a great Halloween discussion. Hang on.
Hold on. I want to. Are we talking about like the Twilight werewolves? Are we talking about like the gnarly? Okay, I just want to clarify.
The scary ones.
You're talking about the werewolf that's in his feels.
Yeah.
In Twilight.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
I love
here.
You. If it wasn't, it's a full moon. I gotta no. He went Australian. He went Australian. No.
Just like that.
I'm a werewolf.
Oh, we just lost all the Twilight fans. They're gone.
It's all right.
I don't think
probably they were lost.
I'm going to go on record to say that I don't think our listener base is Twilight fans. Maybe.
No. I could. Yeah.
And I'm not throwing shade.
Well,
but that too overacting.
Do you? Here's a great question, Dylan. Back in the day, you walk up to a house. We all know the houses that just put the bowl outside. Please take one. Please take two. Right.
Yeah.
You just bypass that or do you? Yeah. I think I know who I'm talking to.
So,
I think it depends on the situation. So, if my mom was right there,
yeah.
It take two and you just got to take the L. If my mom stood at the street and was like, "Yeah, just go get some." Yeah, I'm taking a couple handfuls
cuz
if she saw me grab the ball, she knows what happened, but I can get a couple in there before
little click hands.
Before anybody knows. Actually, man, most of the time people beat me to it. Most of those houses, it was gone. It was empty,
dude.
Man. Like by the time I got there,
you got a bucket, just a sad bucket.
It's just, you would walk up and it's just gone, man. And
I didn't even get a bucket. You just had that pillowcase.
Just the beat up. Just put it in there.
You can, but you could use that thing as a weapon.
That's true.
If you got a pillowcase full of Jolly Ranchers, some of them, they ain't so jolly. If you just
mugging other kids for their candy.
You better give me your, I got all Jolly Ranchers in this bag. You think I'm playing games?
That is a dangerous weapon.
A pillowcase full of Jolly Ranchers is the perfect weapon of choice if you are wanting more treats on Halloween.
Do you remember? That reminds me. Was it Full Metal Jacket where the
bars of soap?
Oh, in the sock, dude.
That
looks
brutal,
horrible.
Never had that happen.
Nope.
So I looked up werewolves. And werewolf, in European folklore, a man who turns into a wolf at night and devours animals, not just the one.
Just one animal, he's good.
He turns back for life. He devours animals, people, and corpses, but returns to human form by day. So NFL werewolf football player, he's only playing night games. No Sunday afternoon.
Nope.
He's going to be useless.
8:20 and later.
So I could say plausible. We're piggybacking off of our conspiracy theory week.
Oh, yes.
So plausible, unlikely a werewolf plays football. I'm not buying it. So can I ask you this? I've heard the term trick-or-treating, and I have no idea where that came from. Was there like, did you prank the people that didn't give you candy? Was that what it was?
No, because there was never anybody that didn't give me candy. I grew up in a very small town. Like, if anybody answered the door, they gave you candy. And so,
from trunks or from houses?
Houses.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Come
about
over here, son.
Here's the thing about trunk or treats. Okay, I never even heard about a trunk or treat until I was a grown man, and I lived in the suburbs in Orlando. And somebody was like, "Hey, we're going to a trunk or treat for Halloween."
Yep.
What is that?
He's saying it weird.
Me?
No, but like if you heard trunk or treat for the first time, you'd be like, "Oh, you're saying it weird."
Trunk.
Like you're saying a word that you
trunk
don't
or
mean
treat.
To say trunk.
It's trick or treat. Trunk and or treat.
You little goofball. It's
you big goober. It's trick or treat. You're saying it wrong, Ralph. So that is interesting. And I bet when you first heard trunk or treat, you were probably like, what is that? And it's like, oh, well, you know, First Methodist is doing.
First Methodist is doing
a trunk or treat or like a fall festival. So the church I grew up in had a fall festival and they would have, dude, I was playing guitar at the time. I was like a teenager. I was like, Mom, I want a gig. Like, you could play at our Fall for Christ Festival. And I was like, all right, dude, we would get...
Fall for Christ
Festival. We called it Fall for Christ.
I love it so much.
Fall for Christ. And so we would get... Dude, we'd bring a sound system. I'd tune up the old Gibson SG. Gibson SG.
With the little horns on it?
Yeah. And you know that actually the reason it's called SG was Solid Guitar was what they renamed it, but it was originally Satan's Guitar. It was what... That they called it that because it looked like horns, and I'm just up
really?
There. Yeah, I'm just
I mean, that makes sense.
I'm just up there playing it.
Playing some Jimi Hendrix up
playing
there.
It for the Lord. Yeah, I was playing, we were playing some Christian rock.
I knew it.
Playing some Skillet.
Some Petra. Do you remember them?
Some Striper.
Wasn't some Striper, yes. Christian yes, band? Dude.
Yes. But yeah, that was like my first gigs were Fall for Christ Festival. It's like, yeah, man, we're taking stage in a little bit, and there's 33 people getting candy and they may come listen to us play. And you know what? I think about that now. If you went to the Fall for Christ festivals when I was a teenager and you listened to me play, thank you. Because
old Janine and her whole all of her grandkids.
It was terrible, I imagine. I probably played so bad. I think about that sometimes. The people that like were supportive of me then, you fanned the flame into me being a full-time musician now.
They listened to you as you were playing some old throwback DC Talk.
Yeah.
And some Newsboys.
We always end with the
Jesus Freak.
I wish we'd all been ready. Which brings us, dude.
Oh, Christians ruined Halloween.
Dude.
They did. by this subject right here.
Have you ever been, have you ever been to a Judgment House play or Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames play? Or as I like to call them, Salvation Scares.
Every Sunday where I grew up in church was a Salvation Scare, but
you better turn.
That was going to be my answer. I'd be like, I went to a Baptist church for a little while. And yeah. That was it.
you got scared?
Every day.
Dude.
Every Sunday.
You want to know what brimstone smells like? And I go, kind of. I don't know. Where do you find this smell?
Where is this brimstone you speak of?
Because sulfur water is horrible. If it's anything like that, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Not trying to smell that.
Yes. The one we used to go to every Halloween was Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was legit. And the production value in this one was unbelievable, dude.
Was it, you're saying like good, good?
Yeah.
Big church. We're talking about big church.
Yeah, deep pockets. And so big tithe bucket.
Full giving campaign every year for the annual play.
We're gonna scare people to Jesus. And you're like, maybe it worked. I don't know. Anyway, it didn't.
I'm sure it did some good, but I don't think that's, personally, I don't think that's the way.
Nope.
That's not the way I'm working with my ministry, but so, effective.
Did you go to them?
Oh, dude. It was my life, but.
Please tell me you were an actor in one of them.
I was an actor in some plays. I was never, I'm trying to think. I don't believe that I was an actor in
this one.
Dude, but one year. I don't know if this was one of those plays. I think it was Christmas, maybe.
Christmas.
They elected me to play Satan in the play. And
for any particular reason? Was it random?
Looking back now, I think it was definitely because I was like, they probably hated me.
that's where my head goes. I'm like, why would they pick you for
like
that?
Holden will be Satan. And I might have volunteered, but I think I was like 11, maybe 10 or 11.
Gotcha.
So imagine little Holden dressed up like the devil. And I went all in on the character. I mean, I got a mask. I got the cloak.
Did you change your voice?
My voice was kind of changing on its own around that time. Hey! So it was, because that was around the time my voice was changing. And so I remember I got into character and my goal was to be the scariest thing. And I knew
the best Satan you could be.
Listen, if you're going to do it right. And so I actually bought into this, the whole like scaring people into like salvation. So, or scaring people into like coming to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I like, when I got out there, how I knew when I was acting in character and I was saying my lines, I knew that based off of children crying in the room, that was how I did a good job. So literally, I had this one scene where I looked into the crowd and they could see my mask, and a couple kids cried, and I was like, "All right, I think honestly don't that, like this part, but I feel like I've done some good here."
did they give you a pitchfork?
No, but the devil I played was not like. So I think you should wear like a nice suit because.
Oh,
but I didn't. I had like a cloak. It was really weird. But I was scary. I wore a mask that wasn't even like a devil mask. If we're being honest,
it was just red,
like a Darth Maul. I had the lightsaber. I was hitting people with it. No, but yeah, never in the Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. But I've been to a lot of them, and I went to a play similar to that at a very large church somewhere in the upstate of South Carolina, because they load us all in a church van.
Oh, what a great field trip this is.
All the youths, and we're going to get these youths there. And so they open up, and the play, the production quality. So I think there's two different kinds. You have like your Judgment House, Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. One, you're sitting in a room, and you're watching the play happen.
Yep.
And then there's the other one where you have a interactive walkthrough.
Yes, those are the ones I've been to.
Those will get you.
Those are horrible.
Dude, I went to one time. So, setting, Boom. You walk in. It's a grandma and her grandson. And grandma's reading her Bible. And she's telling her grandson about Jesus. So, at the end of the play, grandson, like, gets saved. Okay, check it out. They ride home. Car accident. Both die.
Oh, my gosh.
Grandson, grandma get to the pearly gates. Okay, we're at the end. This is, like, climactic point of the play. Dude, kid, grandson that got saved goes to heaven. Grandma gets pulled into the fiery flames. No. That actually happened.
Plot twist.
And then they sang I Wish We All Been Ready by DC Talk.
They really sang that.
That actually happened. That was a real play that I went to. Grandma, sweet grandma in a rocking chair. But if you think about it, it worked pretty well. If we're, I mean, you know, it scared me.
Did they? And they probably didn't explain why.
Well, yeah, because at the gates they said your name's not here. And the correlation was is that she did all the right things, but she had never put her faith.
Mm.
Which, I mean, could actually happen. But it was just kind of one of those, like, it was like the M. Night Shyamalan of Christmas plays. It had that plot twist at the end.
Plot twist, you're going to hell.
But yeah, they were effective. Are you for them, against them? Where are you at on these, on the plays?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm 100% against them.
Same.
Mine was so intense. It was outside, pitch black, and we walked through, and it was like this fake house.
Yeah.
Families walking around and da-da-da, like legit, like, I don't know if they're legit actors, but people that I'm like, oh, they're Sunday school Tim. And, like, you know, my Sunday school teacher. And he's just
old,
like,
Sunday school Timothy.
Old Tim. And then you would walk through the next thing, right?
Yeah.
It was, again, outside. And then the worst one. You'd walk through these curtains outside. And you, again, deep pockets, a lot of money.
Yeah.
There was a part of a freaking airplane.
Oh, dude, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've been to one of those, yeah.
In this field, and there's airplanes. Dude, people with fake blood on them, on the ground.
Playing fake dead?
Yes.
Were they, like, just laying there, or were they, like, ugh?
Well, here's the kicker. Some of them were just clothes. Oh. You see where I'm going? Do you know where I'm going? Some of them were just closed.
So we're talking about rapture play.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Were you ready when God comes back? Goes into the next room. Yeah, it was just, that was, I'll never forget that. That was just, why in the H would you do something like this to scare the H out of people? I was a little kid, maybe 8, 9. And yeah, and then they played some new song at the end. And
No, that's DC Talk.
It may have been DC Talk, but
that was the one they always played for us. Or the People Get Ready, Jesus Is Coming.
Who is that?
Was it Nicole C. Mullen? Yeah. Maybe Nicole C. Mullen?
Yes.
Correct us if we're wrong.
Yep, I think that's it.
But there's a very
light, it was too happy.
There's a People Get Ready. And there was a light line that just had this melodic, and it didn't sound as serious. And she's like, those who do not know, they will here depart. I knew you've not. And I remember just freaking out because it was like very, like, just melodic lines. It wasn't somber like you would expect it to be.
It would be played on something equivalent to like a Christian radio station today.
Yeah, like a K-Love.
Yes, exactly. But it was just like,
and they would always introduce it. Here's People Get Ready. Jesus is coming.
Cole C. Mullins.
And positive, encouraging radio. And that was like the thing. So, Dylan, where are you at on the whole play thing? So, me and Josh have stated that we're not for the Salvation Scare plays.
I'm in that camp. I'm with you guys. I've never been in one. But
as in like participated or been at, like, just even attended.
I've never even until I heard about this maybe a few years ago. I didn't even know I didn't know this was real and people actually did this and all this. This is
yeah, it really happens.
This is like a different universe to me. But
good.
No, I went to youth I went to a Baptist youth group one time, and the youth pastor there, I mean, bless his heart, you know, he was trying, I guess. He basically told a story about how two kids were making a joke in a sermon about how, you know, well, how long does it take to get to heaven, or how far away is heaven? And then he said that later that night that the kids got in a car accident and died. And so he went to...
Is he telling a true story?
To this day, I don't know. It was just...
Dude, how horrible.
Here's the thing. I don't know if it's true. I hope it's not, because he was like, I heard about the accident, and I went to the scene, and I measured how far the scene was from the church, or from where they had left, and I was like, that's how far hell is away. And I was just... I just remember sitting there thinking,
oh my gosh,
what the heck? Am I like, what did I, how did I get here? And I remember my mom picked me up. She was like, how was it? And I was like, I hate that. I will never go back to that. And she was like, okay. So luckily my mom didn't force me. But dude, I remember after that, I was just like, I'm good with this whole ordeal. Yeah, man. Small town Baptist church. They mean well, maybe. I don't know.
In the heart of hearts, I do believe that the churches that are doing those plays, and people are saying that, even I feel like their intent is, and for the most part, you could say that I'm wrong, but I believe they do have good intents behind that. Like, they want you to, they ultimately want you to, I feel like they want you to meet Jesus, but they're just the way they're going about it is not setting you up for a life of faith at all. Like, we could go theological on this, but I personally think that that is not, like, Jesus didn't come to earth and die for us, for our sins, so we free, so that people could scare us into loving him.
That's a great point. Yep.
Not at all.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
You know what freaked me out more so than any of the plays? Because we're talking about spooky things. The plays got me. You know what got me more than that? The Left Behind series of books and movies.
Oh, old Kirk boy getting in there, getting all scary. Remember Kirk Cameron?
Kirk,
what are you doing?
Kirkland Cameron. Is it Kirk? Is it just Kirk?
I hope it's Kirkland. Let's find out.
Kirkland, like Costco?
That movie, Left Behind, and my dad, God bless him, love you so much, he is the biggest advocate for Christian movies that I've ever met in my entire life.
Faith-based film.
He loves a good Christian movie. And guess who doesn't? Oh, Joshua Reed De La Cruz. I'm not a fan.
What was that middle name again? I don't know why.
Nope. I just, not a fan.
I'm not either.
I haven't found a good one yet.
Hey, I'll tell you this. You know what I hope they make?
Please.
I hope they make another faith-based film about sports. But check it out. Plotline, their football team, and the football team is garbage, but then they all find each other while they all find salvation, and then at the very end of the season they win. Man. Isn't that like every faith-based football film?
Yes.
I'm not knocking it, because I know there's good intents behind it,
right.
I just feel like we could do a little better with the storyline.
We can. There's no reason that in Christendom, like, we have the worst creative people ever. And
I don't believe that that's true.
I don't either.
Because I work with some of the most creative people I've ever met.
Same.
Some of the most talented, gifted. Dylan, would you agree? You do as you have as well in the past and do now.
Very much.
And Dylan's from Jacksonville, and we live in South Carolina. And like, I've seen some of the best, and I just don't think they're making faith based films.
No, they're probably doing other stuff.
Efforts are probably into like more important things. So Kirk Cameron is Kirk Thomas Cameron. It's a full name. I was hoping for Kirkland.
I know.
I was just thinking of Costco.
I'm
going to
call
brand.
Him that anyways if I ever run into
Kirkland him. T. Cameron. But those plays really are the books and the movies scare me. And I'll tell you, it took me years to like snap out of
fear that it put in you?
Bro, it put this fear. Because you watch the movies, and if you've never seen Left Behind, let me give you some context. So it's based off the rapture. And in Christianity, we believe that there will be a rapture where Jesus comes back and he gets his church. And so from the eastern sky, dude, that was a perfect... Perfect. Shafar, if you grew up charismatic, you
Dang it, Phil, you hit the wrong note.
You hit the wrong note, Phil. Get better at the ram's horn. Phil comes back from his trip to the Holy Land, and he's got a ram's horn.
Got this. Burr, burr, burr.
Dude, we had this guy that would blow the shofar in church, and he would wait till a down moment. So you would
I think he fight that guy because he knew what he was doing.
I wish I could remember his name. I forget his name. I don't want to mention it even if I do. Yeah. But most people, the shofar is like, you know, that triumphant burr, burr, burr. And it's like, it's the shofar context. Is it like a hollowed out ram's horn, correct?
Sure. Yeah, no, I believe so, yeah.
And it's like, I guess, native to Israel. And the shofar. Well, I feel like is shofar Hebrew.
It appears in their environment. How about that?
Yeah. So, and also in charismatic churches all across America. So typically, you blow the shofar horn in like if you grow up charismatic. I don't know why people do this, and somebody correct me if you know why. But it's like a triumphant thing, like yahoo. But this dude, this cat would wait till a down moment. Bro, okay, so I grew up Pentecostal. So we're like 45 minutes into worship at this point. Down moment. Everybody's, you know, just keeping their hands at 10 and 2 because their, you know, arms are wore out. So just imagine me as a kid wanting to sit down. And I finally do. And my mom's kind of giving me eyes. Like she's mad at me for sitting down. But it's 45 minutes. And just a down moment, everything's quiet. I'm just kind of sitting here, slouched over. And then, burr, burr, burr. And dude, can I tell you, every time I wanted to be like, are you kidding me? Just yell at him. But
I think I found an example.
Oh, dude.
I just want to...
Dude, that guy's got lungs on him.
I just want to poke Jethro as he's blowing this right in the rib.
If I was in a church service and I heard that, I would immediately run.
Dude,
I would be gone.
It freaked me out because he would wait till a down moment, and it was almost like he would do it on purpose just to make sure we were awake. I'd be over there leaning up. Did any of y'all take naps on your mom's pocketbook?
Yes.
When you were a kid, yes. I'd be laid over on mom's pocketbook. Dude, kill me, bro. Kill me, bro.
I would be gone.
Dude, at that time, if I was an adult man, I would have already, I'd been like, hey, bro. Do that again. Do it again. And so,
the stuff that you guys live through as kids, you know what? Here's what I will say to both of y'all. It is impressive that you are Christians and you are working for churches after everything that you went through.
God had a plan. I'll drink some energy drink to that.
Hey, man.
That is a good point.
That
is a great point.
Because honestly, I didn't want anything to do with it for a while, but... Yeah, God had a plan. He knew we were going to see some crazy stuff, and he knew that we were going to talk about it in this podcast. He wasn't surprised. He's like, yeah, they'll talk about this later.
They'll use that whole podcast thing as it'll be very therapeutic for them.
As the traumatizing shofar. So we're talking about the rapture. So, yeah, we believe if you're a Christian.
I'm not sold that it's going to happen like the movies Left Behind.
No. And so how it happens... explaining how it happens in the movies.
Yes.
You'll go home and there'll just be clothes laying perfectly laid out.
Yeah.
Where a person was, like socks, shoes.
Everything.
Like a man and woman are sitting like on the couch. He looks over, wife's gone. Like, and all he sees is like clothing there. And then he figures out really quick that she's been raptured, and because he didn't put his faith in Jesus, he was left behind. So the movies absolutely freaked me out. I have a real life thing that happened to me for about a year that we're just going to go there.
Do it.
Therapy-wise.
Do it.
From ages 11 to 12, if I woke up in the middle of the night for a whole year, I was so scared of being, like my family being raptured without me. This is real talk. Because of the traumatic side effects of the movies and the plays and all that stuff, I would go into my parents' room and I would pat the bed to make sure they were laying there.
Just a little big toe check at the foot of the bed.
I was like, I don't know how my dad didn't realize that, because he was like, you didn't wake him up when he was sleeping. Like, he didn't like that.
Yeah.
Like, he would get, and I'll just make sure there's a little lump in the covers. But can you imagine him just waking up and me just like, hey, son, what are you doing? And but then I realized, like,
that would not, as somebody who has kids, that would not be my response. Hey, son, what are you doing? That, no.
Then I wised up and I had a baby brother and I thought babies will definitely get raptured, right?
Yeah.
And so I would go to the crib and I would make sure he was laying there. You could just see his little, it was just when a baby's laying in the bed covered up, it's just their little head sticking out. And I would just make sure his little head was there. And I'd be like, okay, but that was like, it's laughable now, but that was a whole year. And I think I finally told my dad one day, I was like, for like a year, I broke down. I was like, I've been so scared. And he goes, you know, do you believe in Jesus? And I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, then what are you worried about? And like, he just prayed over me and it was so good. Even though there was like traumatizing events, he sure did. And I just remember having to be real with him. But that, dude, that left me with that. So
that's probably the scariest movie I've seen. That wasn't, yeah. And I know their intentions was probably to scare people. For sure. Because isn't there...
Because there is a weight to not knowing.
Yes. Which can be fear, like, you know, fear-driven too. But I've seen a lot of scary movies, which they still scary... Scary movies still scare me to this day.
For sure.
Like, I'm a grown behind man, and if we go see a scary movie, which I don't see very often at all...
I don't either.
I just do this, man. The whole hands, the fingers in front of the eyes... And I'll have make sure I see a little, there you go, Dylan. Like, yeah. I'm doing it now. A little peek season in the beginning.
Is it the suspense or the actual storyline? Because for me, it's always the suspense. Jump. It's always the little, ha-ha, you know, they jump out.
Yes. And the music, oh, I hate it. I hate it.
Dude, John Williams would never do that to us. Do you know who the composer John Williams is?
I do not.
Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park.
He would not do that to us.
Every good movie. Think about that. You can already hear the ba da 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 or ba 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 ba, just
triumphant music.
John Williams would never scare us with his music.
Nope. But I tell you who would. Whoever did that one movie with the real life ghost. What was it?
Paranormal Activity?
No, starts with a C. Remember, Dylan, we watched it.
Is that the one with
Conjuring? Oh
yeah, nope, not watching
horrible
that.
Horrible movie.
Not watching it.
But the music, they would play like swing, like old swing music when you knew something bad was going to happen. And that might be the scariest part. Like, and then there's like
the music, like your grandmother's like, this was my favorite song when I was your age.
Yeah, and it's all like swing dancing music. That's really impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Dude.
It really is impressive.
Check me out.
But music like that, and then it would just be like, and then it goes through like a box of CDs.
Staticky noise. Always staticky. Oh, that paired with a staticky.
Yes.
Like a record player or
that's
VHS.
What it's played on. Yes.
Bro.
I do not like it.
I remember, okay, shot out of a cannon. Scariest movie other than The Left Behind, let's just go Halloween. Scariest movie you ever watched as a child. Like, and I would say for me, first movie I ever watched as a kid that I remember not sleeping for days was It. The original It by Stephen King.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Like the old creepy one. What about y'all?
Dylan doesn't get, here's the thing about Dylan. Dylan does not get scared.
That's not true.
I get that. You got like a confidence behind your eyes. Like, I ain't worried about no clown. Ain't nobody clowning me.
I mean, it only goes so far, you know? Yeah. I think as a kid, the scariest movie I saw, I watched Freddy versus Jason when I was like eight.
Horrible idea.
I was like, I had no idea what it was about.
Eight?
Dude, that was it. Oh, I would have to look up when that came out, but bro, it jacked me up for a while.
I imagine so.
It jacked me up for a while. And I think I watched it because I saw kids dress up like that in Halloween. I was like, who are those guys? And then the movie came out. I was like, oh, I'm going to check it out. As a kid, that freaked me out. It was a lot of blood.
2003 it was when it came out.
So I would have been 10. So
you're a year younger than me. I'm 92.
I'm 93. So
Josh is the old guy here.
I am. I'm 88.
Bad knees. But yeah, I think Freddy versus Jason in my adult life, the scariest movie I watched was Annabelle. Did we watch that together?
Oh, dude, we did. Dude, that was dumb.
Don't do those.
Demonic, the ones that are demonic based and are possessions and dolls and all, dude. I can't do it, man.
I don't recommend them to anyone either.
No, what's the point of it?
The people that are like very into those, I'm not throwing shade, but I'm always like, yeah, maybe don't. Maybe don't do. I don't know if I trust you as much.
Nope. I don't trust you with your movie choice and many other things.
Yeah. What about you, Josh?
For me, this is kind of funny looking back, but it scared the mess out of me growing up. Was a movie called Critters.
I need to see.
Look it up now. It's called Critters. And so the concept were these alien... there are these alien ball creatures. I hate the way I described that, but that's what it was.
Alien balls.
And they had
Did
sharp,
they roll around?
Yes, yes. Ooh. And they had sharp teeth and they had spikes on the back. Oh, dude, it was
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Horrible. Yeah,
you talking about these guys?
Yes, dude.
How old were you?
When did that come out? It's an older movie.
I mean, it looks like 1957.
Can I get a gander at these critters? Okay, my goodness.
I mean, they are creepy.
It's terrifying.
Let's see.
It's like Gremlins without legs.
86.
I may have watched it when I was, I don't know, with my cousins.
You got it from Blockbuster.
Yeah. I didn't because my parents would never let me.
They're not going to rent Critters to a 6-year-old.
Right. I would go to my cousin's house, which is where I watched all the things that I shouldn't have watched. That movie scared the mess out of me. But in my adult life, the scariest movie when I was older, and this is, there's so many jokes you could say with this, was The Grudge. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
With a bunch of Asian people looking like ghosts? Dude,
I never watched The Grudge.
Dude, it was horrible. So much so that my whole season of life in high school, I would pull back the shower curtain,
make sure you were
to
good.
Make sure I'm good. Then I can go about
did
my
you,
business.
Did you let out like a punch when you opened the curtain?
I did it really fast, like
just a quick punch.
You're not gonna scare me, and I would just and I was like,
you scare the ghost.
Bro, chill. I scared him, so. Or it. But yeah, that was... Yeah.
It was also... There was a shower thing with it, like, coming up under the floor.
I just hate that so much.
Got me.
I don't like that.
Also, the movie Signs by M. Night Shyamalan with the aliens and Mel Gibson.
Which are probably real.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
We did.
Mel Gibson's definitely real. Joaquin Phoenix, also real.
Yes.
And real people. They're real in real life. And that one freaked me out. And then there's a movie. Alien movies get me. There's a movie called The Fourth Kind that came out a few years ago.
Oh, dude, that
had the shot for shot, like the recordings.
That's a great movie, but also super scary. Because
everybody woke up at 3:33 in the morning, and I get done, like, watching a movie, go home, wake up at 3:33.
No, you did not.
No. Go on, aliens.
I'm not awake. I'm asleep.
Oh, go on, aliens. You better get.
Tuck me in, please. I don't want to wake up.
Dude. All right. We talked about movies. We talked about scary plays.
The old closer. What do we got?
Closer. Scary stories. Your scariest story. It doesn't even have to be like a ghost story. Like, it just be something that would scare you.
I'll go first. Mine, you can actually look, like, Google this thing and you will find out that it exists. There are many testimonies of this happening to many people. So outside of Jacksonville, Florida, there's this place, there's an exit called 210. And if you Google the ghost of 210, there are many articles written about this. It was on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was on is that a still a thing, the Sci-Fi Channel?
I think they
I don't
if
have
they
cable,
didn't, they
so
should
I,
have canned it by now. Yeah. When they did the Sharknado, the tornado hurricane that hurled sharks at you, I'm just like, you're done. You're done, Sci-Fi Channel.
You dumb idiots.
You big stupid dummy. Sharks, really, in a tornado?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
So me, my buddy, Corey, Sean, some other friends, we're out. We had just graduated high school, 2008, 2009. we hear about this story and like, no way. So the premise of the story is back when it was a wooden road, a dirt road, and it was developed, there was this motorcyclist that was riding down this road, and he wasn't paying attention.
Know where this is going.
He loses control, and a barbed wire fence takes his head off.
Oh, my goodness. That actually happened.
That historically happened. But the stories are like, when you go down and you park your car right here, and you shut off your car lights, and you look down, it's this long road, you can see a headlight, one singular headlight, come out of the woods and start coming towards you. And I was like, that's ridiculous. So we do this. It's about 1:45 in the morning. And we pile in this, my friend's Suburban. We park right in the middle of the road. And we shut off all the lights. Dude, we're out there for like 10, 15 minutes. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's 1:45 in the morning. We're degenerates.
Was there a specific time distinction or just had to be at night?
No, just at night. Just when everything is pitch black. Because there was no street lights on that road.
This is a scary story already.
And so we turn off the car. We're just hanging out outside of the car. We're outside of the car. And then all of a sudden, God, maybe 500 yards away, you see this. It looked like someone just turned a corner, right? Like, all right, cool. It's a car. That's weird. It's just got one head. Maybe it's a car. Because you can hear something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a car with one headlight out. Because it doesn't sound like a motorcycle. Okay, cool. We're outside, and it's not fast. It's just driving. I'm like, what is this? This is exactly how everyone says it's going to happen. I'm like, nah, we're just... Well, let's just sit in the car. Maybe if it is a car, like, let's just be in the vehicle. It's getting closer and closer. I'm like, Sean, start up the car. Let's get out of it. This is kind of weird. Dude, and it is pitch black. And it's pretty close.
Do you hear the fiery thunder of a V-twin?
Just I don't know what everyone was just screaming. V-twin's a Harley and yelling, engine,
by the way.
And I would say if about 25 yards in front of us, there is this big light, singular light in front of us. And I'm like, Sean, turn on the car. Let's get out of here. Soon as he turns on the lights of the car, it's gone. And 20 yards is not far away. And I'm just like, what? There's no side street for it to turn off of. There's no anything. And to this day, I have no idea what it was. Maybe I was just sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Maybe we were just goofing around. But I know what I saw. That's exactly what I saw. And so to this day, I have I have no idea what it is. But you can Google Ghost of 210, and there are many testimonies just like mine, and it's so freaking scary.
I think the only thing that story needed to make it movie ready,
I know,
is that when you tell Sean to crank the car, he drops his keys, first off, because he's got, you know, a fidgety hand.
Old dangly keys in the hand? Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
No. And then he finally gets the keys in the ignition.
What are these? Sean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh. Sean,
I'm trying.
Oh, I see what you're doing. It doesn't start.
He's like, oh no, I told you to change out the alternator. I told you to do that. And dude, heart's racing. Fire thunder of the V-twin getting closer. And now you start to see a figure on the motorcycle.
Dude, I think would just run.
Someone's driving it. Someone's riding the motorcycle.
But there's no helmet.
No helmet.
Oh.
Right as it comes up, right as it gets within 20 feet, let's say, car cranks up, lights come on, disappears.
Adjust your rearview mirror. Headless Joe's in the back.
Boom! He's like... Hey guys!
But he can't talk, so it's very much like.
If he's right, hey.
Why is he clapping?
I don't know. He can't talk. He doesn't have a head.
Hey, in this thing, if someone's riding a motorcycle with no head, I think they could still talk.
Oh, that's true.
Anything is possible if you're already riding a motorcycle.
That's true. Why am I putting stipulations like, no, he doesn't have a head?
No, he can't. It's like, hey, first off, This is make-believe. He's riding a motorcycle, okay, with no head. How are you going to be able to see?
Good point. That's my scary story.
He can't talk. He can't ride a motorcycle. That's a basic rule, bro.
Valid point. You got a good one?
Well, that's a great story.
Thanks, man. It still scares me to this
day. That actually got me. Do you have anything scary?
I don't, man. And you think I would growing up where I grew up. I grew up on 10 acres out on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. Probably a lot like 210 was back in the day.
But you think you were like just so acclimated to it that you were just...
Dude, I would go outside in the dark and not even think twice about it.
I would think all the time. I wouldn't think twice about it.
I don't have any scary stories or spooky stories, but man, there was a period when I was a kid where I had night terrors.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That, like, dude, to this day, I can remember what it was. And I don't remember dreams at all. But to this day, I can still remember, yep, that's what it was. And it would wake me up every single time. And, like, I don't know why, man. It wasn't even, like, super creepy. It was just the way I could remember it, how real it felt. And, like, it kept happening. It kept happening, like, night after night after night. And I would just wake up and be like,
do you remember what it is?
I remember it was somebody, like, to not go into, like, full detail, somebody was basically on our property, and they had my dad tied up, and they were, like, threatening to kill him. And that it was,
it was the same, it was a repetitive dream.
It was repetitive. And so as a kid, I was like, dude, somebody's going to come, like,
kill him. Try this for real.
Yeah, like, this is going to happen. And so, dude, for a longest time, like, anytime somebody came up in our house...
You were worried about that.
I was like, dude, I had a knife. Or I had... I was like...
A butter knife.
And I would go outside and, like...
Stabby stab.
Dude, I had a lot of knives as a kid, actually. My parents, they didn't care. I was like, I go to the flea market and I want this throwing knife.
Dude, a flea market knife?
We all know the type.
Yeah.
I had them. But yeah, dude, it messed with me for a while. And I just... Like, I can just remember it. And it would just keep happening and keep happening and keep happening. Luckily, nothing ever happened to my dad. He's good. But, yeah, dude, it jacked with me. Jacked with me. And I was just like, man, I don't understand why this happened. Yeah.
That's freaky. Have you ever heard of this thing called sleep paralysis?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That terrifies me.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
No.
Bro. That is something.
Yeah, same. If that happened to me, I think I would lose...
So I've had that happen to me four times.
Four too many.
I think it's probably been four times, maybe five. So for those of you that don't know what this is, in closing, sleep paralysis, your body, when you fall asleep, I think it's in your spine, will actually, I guess, like, emit something that will paralyze you so that you don't, like, move a lot in your dreams so you can rest. And I think it's only when you're in a deep sleep cycle. So you got those, like, 90-minute sleep cycles where you have that,
like, the REM. Is that what they call it?
Is it REM cycle? Yeah. And so you have a deep sleep cycle. And so what happens is it will, when you have those deep sleeps, you can typically act out your dreams. If you don't. So some people have less of that when they typically sleepwalk, from my understanding. But some people have, like, knocked out cold, like me. And so if you wake up suddenly, your body, your brain hasn't told your body yet to wake up. So here's what it goes like. The first time it happened to me, I was 18. And I woke up from a dream, like, wide awake. And you can't move. You can't talk. All you can do is breathe and blink. Like, this actually happened to me, I promise.
No, sir.
And I remember, like, looking around the room, and I can't, like, I'm going... like, trying to talk, and I can't.
Oh, my gosh.
And I finally, like,
my palms are sweating.
Dude, I finally came to, and I, like, stood up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this freaked me out. So I talked to my dad about it, and he was like, sleep paralysis happened to me before. It freaked me out. Then it's happened a few more times. So now I believe it happens more frequently, but I'm, like, okay with it.
How long does it happen for?
Dude, sometimes it's happened for like 30 to 40 seconds. Sometimes it's like 5 to 10. But now, so it's, I think the last time it happened has probably been like a year or two ago. Because I'm familiar with it, I'll wake up and literally go, I'll know that eventually, like, I'm gonna, but it's almost like when you come out of the paralysis, it's not like half your body, you're like, boom, awake, boom, like, I can talk. But for those first few moments.
That is so terrifying.
It is a real, real thing. Look it up. And it's happened to me a whole bunch. Not a whole bunch. I would say like 4 or 5 times that I can document this happened to me. Sleep paralysis. Yeah, but it freaked me. The first time it happened to me, I remember the feeling of being paralyzed for like 40 seconds and not being able to like, I remember trying to talk and like I just couldn't. Ugh. And so all I could do is breathe and blink. But that was probably one. I had one time I had a bear come up on me when I was in the woods. A hungry bear. Hungry bear.
Hungry bears.
hungry bears. And that freaked me out. Not really a ghost story, but bear came up on me hungry.
I don't know smell. What I would do.
I could smell the bear before I saw it. And I
what
remember,
does a bear smell like?
I can't. It's death. It yeah, smells I, like I, it smells like death. An animal that can easily kill you. That's
terrifying.
But you can kind of they. I mean, they don't have bear showers, bear head and shoulders. Well, so they
sure. I'm not saying
they stink. Bears stink, dude. Get it together.
They smell like death.
You big dumb.
Hey guys, I'm here. Hey. I smell good too.
Yeah, I got head and shoulders for bears. 2-in-1. So,
it's called Bear and Shoulders.
Yeah. I always double shampoo, single condition. Double poo, single condition.
It's so dumb.
So you had a bear come up on me, hungry, and you can't run away. That's the secret.
You're not supposed to run?
No.
Well, I don't know.
Bears can run 45 miles an hour, and they can climb at like 20 miles an hour. Black bears. This was a black bear specifically.
Have you seen a tan Filipino, though?
What?
We can run pretty fast. You described
it. Dude, you can't. You will make it about 14 feet before that bear absolutely so just. Terrifying. And if you run away, you're removing all dominance. So the bear is almost as timid of you, typically more timid of you. But this bear was hungry because he was within, 20 feet of me.
What?
And I remember I moved up a little bit towards him at first just to see if he'd back up. You know how you do that with a dog? Bro, he wasn't backing up. And so I just kind of walk around and I kind of ease my way back out of the woods. But that was like kind of a freaky story.
That's scarier than any story I have.
I'm more scared of like bears and stuff because they're actually out there and they will actually kill you.
Yes.
And so, well, I hope we all learned something today.
We did. The things are scary and it's
okay.
We've
talked about Halloween. We've talked about a lot of things. But we're glad, Dylan, first off, I'm really glad that you joined us.
Yeah, thanks for being here, dude.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, guys.
And you hung out in this little studio that we have.
Le studio.
Welcome to our little kingdom.
Hey, man.
And we start each day with a grateful heart.
Yes, every day.
In closing, all the things that we said are pretty subjective. I think we've said a few objective things today.
Yes, that Left Behind's a horrible movie.
Yeah. Objectively.
Yeah.
But you should watch it nonetheless.
But with that being said, great episode. Talk about Halloween. Whether you celebrate Halloween or not, I'm not throwing judgment at you. I think it's all about your heart posture behind celebrating Halloween, right?
Yep. We love you all the same.
We love you all the same, whether you celebrate, whether you don't, whether you buy candy and give it out, or whether you go and get candy from places, from trunks or doors. So, all right, guys. Well, we're so glad you're here with us, Dylan. Thank you for being here. Episode 4, we are signing off.
Love you guys. See you next time.